Honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on thesportstuff.com. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I'm your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on thesportstuff.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and Double Twist. Thank you once again for joining me here on Timberwolves Explosion. We got three games to review. We'll be previewing four games in the second segment. I predicted the Wolves to go 2-1 and to go in a certain sequence, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It went the exact opposite. That's right, 1-2. I picked the Wolves to lose to the Bucks and win the next two. Unfortunately, in a lot of ways, it went the opposite. I'm glad we beat the Bucks. That was great. I thought, here we go. We're going to really have a nice week. Maybe we'll find a way to lose one of the next two. But no, we lost them both. And yeah, it's just total BS. But let's start with the positivity first. Friday, December the 30th. Hope all of you had a happy new year and a nice, safe happy new year. All that good stuff. Mine was okay. It was not bad. It passed, and here we are in 2017, the first Timberwolves Explosion of 2017. Coming up on my 600th show in about a week and a half, it'll land on Purple Mafia if the schedule continues to go as it is. Just a little anecdote for you to hear. Andrew Wiggins had a great game against the Bucks. He went against his former draft partner, Jabari Parker. We talked about how if the Wolves were going to win this game, Andrew Wiggins would have to outperform Jabari Parker, and he did. Had some big-time dunks in the game. Got to the free throw line quite a bit. 31 total points in the game. Some great passes. Nice little kind of a lead alley-oop-ish type of pass to Karl Anthony Towns. Love that. Just going in motion and Karl attacking the basket. Wound up with a double-double. 18 and 16 for Karl. But Wiggins, yep, 31 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, all-around game. 11 of 13 from the line, if I didn't mention that yet. The only icky stat is he missed all three of his three-pointers. And, other than Zach LaVine and Shabazz Muhammad, who played great. Actually, even Bielisa made 2 of 3 threes. This was his best game in I don't know how long. 4 of 6 from the floor. Strong performance. I almost forgot about that. He was very strong in the game. Impressive game for the big three, I have to say. Karl, again, that huge double-double and all that. Didn't attempt too many shots, but he didn't have to because Wiggins was kind of running the offense and Zach LaVine was scorching the net from the outside. 6-9. A huge contrast from Karl Anthony Towns from downtown. Wow, he's got to stop shooting those. He only shot 2 in this game, but the frustration is going to boil over in the next couple. Certainly not just on Karl Anthony Towns, but on other certain players who just, like, please, you know, horrible. yeah, Karl is not the root of the problem here at all. Zach LaVine, though, who won the, I do believe he won it last week. Yes, he won the Alpha Wolf Award last week. It's pretty much going to be between Karl and Zach on this one, I'm sure. Even though you'd think Andrew Wiggins would be a huge candidate, he was certainly the leader coming into this game with how well he played. Fun game. I mean, the Wolves just rolled through this whole game. Huge start right out of the gate, and they maintained it the whole way. The Bucks' only quarter that they won in this game was the second quarter, making things a little bit closer, and the Wolves just pulled right back away. And that third quarter literally just paralleled the Bucks from there on afterwards. Fun little deal. So the Wolves did not get screwed in the third quarter. We'll be talking about that again soon. Jabari Parker looked okay. The Greek Freak was unbelievable. I mean, 11 of 14 from the floor. You might want to give him the ball a little bit more, even though the whole Bucks team, it's not like they shot poorly. I mean, the only guy who shot poorly in this game was Tony Snell, really. The Bucks shot 54% in this game. Just the Wolves were so dominant, attacking the basket and hitting from the outside. I mean, 52% from three-point range. I mean, it's not like the Bucks played poorly. It's just the Wolves were on fire the entire way, and Andrew Wiggins was definitely pushing the envelope, was forcing the issue. You know, this is when Andrew Wiggins is a great player. Rubio had some nice passes in this one, wound up with 9 assists total, but Wiggins was by far the best player on the floor, and it was a really fun thing to watch. He even played better than the Greek Freak, but again, the Greek Freak probably should have seen the ball a little more often, or should have attempted more shots, and that helped do in the Milwaukee Bucks. Beasley solid in his return with 12 points off the bench. Not bad. I mean, good for him. He seems more stable now, not as crazy, so hopefully he will stick around in the league. And good for him. This was a very, very fun overall game. Loved the highlight plays, and of course Zach LaVine just scorching the net. There was nothing the Bucks could do about it, and there it is. Certainly nothing to complain about. I really enjoyed the whole thing. Just sat back. It was an absolute pleasure. Okay, I've kind of ran over that a little too much. I just see because I don't want to come off that game, even though it's like there's not a whole lot to say about it other than, you know, there were some highlight plays and the Wolves just they made their shots. It's that simple. They made their shots and they actually played some decent defense, even though the Bucks did, again, accumulate a lot of good shots. It's just I hate to jump in the negative because now here we go. Sunday, January the 1st, Portland Trail Blazers. Wolves started this one out nicely. Nicely. Yes. But they end up losing 95-89. Yeah, they started out pretty nice in this game. They paralleled with the Portland Trail Blazers' very strong third quarter. The Wolves outscored the Blazers by 13 points. The defense was awesome in this game. And when the Wolves keep a team under 100 points, you think their chances of winning are outstanding when you have offensive players like the Big Three. I mean, Andrew Wiggins did have a strong game overall, but it seemed like nobody was good when it mattered in that third quarter. Karl Anthony Towns was terrible the whole way, and I don't know what happened here. I don't know. I'm going to have a hell of a time passing on an Alpha Wolf Award for this one. Because even Zach was pretty quiet, you know, not aggressive. Didn't get the ball a whole lot. Wiggins kind of dominated the possessions out there. He was bringing the ball up as well, and it led to a lot of turnovers, unfortunately. Not the best strategy, even though you'd like to see Wiggins play that kind of that Scottie Pippen or Kobe or LeBron role, bringing the ball up. But he's not ready for it. He's just not. And this Portland team just tore up the Wolves in that second half, particularly the third quarter. And a guy by the name of CJ McCollum, who every time the Wolves play him, seems to torch us. And this was beyond no exception. He was hitting everything. He was wrapping around players. He was hitting mid-range shots, and he was scorching the net from the outside. You know, you look at the 3 of 6, I thought he was more like 6 of 8 or something. But he only attempted 6 threes in the game. I thought it was maybe 10, but it was just overall getting around people and hitting those mid-range shots as well. McCollum torching the Wolves for 43 points. He had to, of course, take over for Damian Lillard, who you thought the Wolves would win this game fairly easy without Damian Lillard in there, but CJ McCollum took on both roles. He kept his role as CJ McCollum, a 22 points a game shooting guard who's not the biggest guy in the world but can score on just about anybody. And then Damian Lillard, it was like a 27 points a game, you know, like almost like Steph Curry level, almost, not quite, but an elite scorer in this league, regardless if George Karl thinks he's the problem with the Blazers. I don't know about that, but maybe he is if CJ McCollum's going to go out for 40 points when he's out. The Wolves should have won this game. And Karl Anthony Towns, down low, got outplayed by Mason Bleepin' Plumlee. What the fill in the blank. Like, seriously. What? He got outplayed by Mason Plumlee. Mason Plumlee! How many MVP awards is Mason Plumlee going to be up for when his career continues? You want to believe Karl Anthony Towns is going to be an MVP candidate in this league one day. He got outplayed by Mason Plumlee. I just can't stand it. I can't believe it. Yes, Zach LaVine got outplayed by CJ McCollum, and the Blazers really had no point guard in this game. They just kind of brought the ball up the court and did what they did. It was just kind of like, okay, because Allen Crabbe, he wasn't really much of a point guard. He just was kind of there, you know, kind of like an Avery Bradley when he plays point guard. He was just kind of there. I just can't put into words the frustration. Outplayed by Mason Plumlee, 6 of 9 from the floor, 18 points, 8 rebounds. Karl Anthony Towns, 3 of 15 from the floor. He looked like a guy who was in a blender out there. I mean, I didn't understand it. This front court is not that scary. It's not. Al-Farouq Aminu is a good defensive player, but it's not like he was on Towns that much. Maybe just here and there in switches. Lottie freaking da. Mayers, Leonard, 0 for 6 from the floor. His defense isn't that good either. And Shabazz Napier, who's just a big nobody. Of course, he hit a huge three-pointer at a point when the Wolves were trying to get back in the game, trying to win the game, and they couldn't get the job done. Every time you thought the Wolves had a chance in this one, like late threes by Zach, who where were those earlier in the game, by the way? Shabazz Muhammad again, who's been scorching the net. But overall, man, this game just makes you sick to see the front court get outplayed the way they did, particularly Karl-Anthony Towns. Wiggins overall, not bad. But even Gorgie didn't shoot well from the floor in this one. He clanged it several times. I can't complain too much about him, though. Andrew Wiggins, not very aggressive, even though he was hitting some of his shots. And he missed 3 of 7 free throws, especially later in the game. Just continuing to miss free throws that you have to make. Portland outplayed the Wolves, and the Wolves made a nice comeback in that fourth quarter. They hung in there, but could not finish the job. And McCollum finished shots, and Napier, of all people, Napier, hitting a three later in that game, which made you sick. It was the only shot he made the whole game. Just, I didn't understand this game, how things turned the way they did. Chris Dunn with a spectacular highlight play, literally around Napier, kind of dribbled around him, kind of let go of the ball, wrapped around the guy. I mean, some of you guys out there that have seen these, you know, hot sauce, whatever type videos out there where you literally can dribble around a guy. You dribble, you kind of let go of the ball and recover the dribble as it goes around the guy or sometimes through the guy's legs. Spectacular play, and then zip the pass out to Andrew Wiggins, I believe it was, for a three-point shot. Yes, just a spectacular play. just an awesome play. It was the only three Wiggins made, and it was by far the assist of the game. Chris Dunn, 11 points from the floor. He was very strong in the game, and it's too bad the Wolves couldn't finish the job. That was during the second quarter when the Wolves were playing so well. It was really nice to see, but unfortunately the Wolves come out of this thing pissed off and wondering what the hell that was. I can't believe that one. I just. And then the Philadelphia game, basically, nothing pales in comparison to this one. Everything pales in comparison to this one. Pardon my poor grammar there. 93-91, Philadelphia. The Wolves just, they just hung in strong and they couldn't quite beat Philadelphia for whatever reason, right? You know, that's the final score. They only lost by 2. It's okay. They played great in this game. No, they didn't. They didn't, actually, at all. The first quarter. Do I have to review this? I mean, the first quarter. I really want to turn this into an explicit episode. I mean, what the? It was just unbelievable. Pardon, I'm going to cough to death here. Even the score in that first quarter does not tell the story. 29-16, Philadelphia in the first quarter. But, I mean, it was just, we shot the ball, it didn't go in, and then Philadelphia just walked past the Wolves and constantly just walked right past them, easy layups, layup line, remember the Denver game? That was great, so you're down by 13, you're down by 21 at a point in this game. Great fourth quarter by the Wolves, orchestrated by Karl-Anthony Towns. Strong performance, even though he shot horribly earlier in the game, including 1 of 6 from three-point range, and that's something I can't let that go. I can't let it go. I will not let it go. Zach LaVine didn't shoot well in the game either, yet he still wound up with 28 points. Thank you very much. Not a bad performance there. 3 of 8 from three. Not the best, but, I mean, I don't know. It's like you'd only wish he could catch up. I could have caught up kind of to his average, so to speak, in that game, but it never was meant to be. The final play of the game, we'll get to that later. What a pile of, just fill in the F-bombs, okay? You can figure it out. I'm sure you know where I'm going. Just pile of bleeping crap. That's basically what it was. Karl-Anthony Towns, the three-pointers need to stop. It needs to come to a close here. It's one thing to give your big man freedom to shoot the ball from the outside, but when he's standing on the outside constantly, rather than being what he really is, a down-low threat, and letting Joel Embiid outplay him, again, a rookie. Yes, he might be older than Carl, but these are his first couple of months in the NBA, and, he outplayed Carl. He looks like a better player right now, at least after this game. Oh, boy, did I offend you out there? Did I offend you? Here's the thing. Joel Embiid, okay, he even shot a couple threes in the game, but he played his role. Joel Embiid stayed down low for the most part, and he played his role. For the most part. Like, nobody is down low all the time anymore, unfortunately. I wish they were. But, okay, it was cute when the guy averaged 43% in October, but it was only 2 games. He averaged 37% in November. Okay, not the best, not the worst. 37% is respectable. But let's again bring it down a little bit. We don't need to attempt 6 or 8 three-pointers in a game. We don't need to attempt 5, maybe 2 threes a game from Carl at the right place, right time, that type of thing. Maybe you're trying to take the wind out of the other team's sails. Like you're already up by 4 or something, or you're already up by 10, something like that, and that'll just kind of bury him, that type of thing from Carl, like Kevin Garnett used to do on occasion. But when you're shooting 6 three-pointers, I can't deal with that. 27% in December in 15 games, and so far to start out this 2017, the New Year, as we all just love talking about the New Year. Yeah, he's attempted 6 threes in both games. 8%. That is certifiable bullshit. Really? You know, 6%? Or, excuse me, 8%? Yes, it's 2 games, but... Come on, you know, are we serious here? Is this serious, or is this some kind of a gag, some kind of joke we're some kind of a prank, like a sick little prank we're playing? Yeah, you can shoot the 3. Oh, ha! You missed again. Is that what we're lowering our standards to right now? Are we really gonna lose to the Philadelphia 76ers like this? I mean, are we gonna get our asses handed to us and then just try to shoot from the outside with our center rather than maybe try to score some points in the inside, start some type of a run? Which, yes, he orchestrated in the second half. Again, okay, so I'm not trying to completely bash the guy. But why do you think you fell behind in the first place? It's the dumbass shots. And, of course, the fact you couldn't make shots anyway. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is going to get, you know, sure, I beat up on Karl-Anthony Towns a little bit with the shot selection. But no, nobody was worse than Andrew Wiggins in this game. Andrew Wiggins was freaking horrible. Horrible. 2 of 15 from the floor. And all he does is shoot long two-pointers. Oh, he made all 4 of his free throws. About freaking time you made them. I mean, 3 of 7, that's complete BS at home in a game you need to win. But this was, was the guy playing with a broken wrist? Or were his knees, was there, like, rubber cement in them? I mean, what was this? What the hell? 2 of 15 from the floor. If you're not making your shots, do something else. Especially from, like, long two-pointers. They weren't the best shot attempts. And every single one of them was off to the side or short or whatever the hell. Horrible. Really hard to watch when it's, like, they're makeable shots. But also the fact he led the team in turnovers. 4 turnovers on the floor. Just unorganized, nervous-looking. He looked like he was nervous. Like, it was his first game out there. 8-point performance for Andrew Wiggins. He looked like he was nervous or something. Like there was somebody there, like that he used to know or something that was going to kick his ass after the game. I mean, what the hell? 2 of 15? 2 of 15? Who on Philadelphia is that intimidating that Andrew Wiggins can't, like, you know, perform a little better than that? Robert Covington doesn't scare anybody, and he was horrible too. 1 of 9, but yeah, his 4th field goal, though. Well, yeah, you know, that was great stuff. Great stuff. Oh, boy. Nobody played particularly great in this game. Thank you, Zach, for the 28. Yes, and he made more than half of his shots, believe it or not. Just missed key three-pointers down the stretch, including one late that, doggone it, I wish it went in, but unfortunately it didn't. Oh, I wish it did. Great play, though. Great pass from Carl to Ricky Rubio. Spot-up three-pointer. He went up with 5 points in the game. Wasn't that good. Chris Dunn did almost nothing in the game. He almost fouled out. Ricky Rubio did almost nothing in the game. Made a couple of nice crashes here and there, but nothing great overall. Again, 5 points only because he made a three-pointer that tied the game up. And we did appreciate it very much. Really much. Nice spot-up three from... nice pass from Carl Anthony Towns for the spot-up three for Ricky Rubio. But then the following play, I don't know, guys. I mean, who was caught sleeping here? Was it Wiggins? Was it? I mean, somebody has to switch on Covington. Somebody. Marcus the Forecaster also really venting some frustration on that final play with Ricky Rubio, how he was just standing there hopping up and down rather than maybe following somebody. Maybe sometimes you should when you see a guy's open. Should I talk about it now or save it for fan interaction? I think I'll talk about it now because odds are I'm going to find a way to forget. So let's get to the Forecaster now. Okay, we were texting a little bit. Boy, he got a bit going. Yep. Here it comes. Take a look at that last play again. Rubio is bouncing around in one spot like an idiot watching the play. He should have stepped in front of Covington, or Gorgie should have been in to cover the inbounder. Yes, you'd think it should be a taller guy. I mean, what kind of strategy was that? A taller guy is usually the one guarding the inbounder. But somebody has to follow guys around, especially when you see he's going to the basket. I mean, nobody was on Covington. Nobody. Everybody was kind of way out past the three-point line trying to go for the steal or something. How about make sure the guy doesn't make a shot? I mean, especially it was a tie game. They weren't going to launch a three necessarily. I mean, they might if they're wide open. So, yes, just stay on whoever. Stay on your guy. Stay on your guy, please. And watch the ball's movement as well, if you could. There's all kinds of lectures back and forth about what you should be doing, facing the ball or being away from the ball, watching the guy. I say try to do both as best you can. I mean, I think it's possible. You have two eyes, right? It's possible. You know, that's what I would be doing, is trying to keep an eye on both of them. four guys are very frustrated. And, of course, Covington left open, and he was able to do a follow-away, kind of a layup type of shot off the glass because nobody was on him, and the clock expired or was in the verge of expiring, about 1 second remaining in the game. Forecaster, Marcus the Forecaster, he's like a former / occasional co-host once in a while. Of course, he hasn't been on in eons. But one of these days, we'll get him on again, and maybe fairly regularly. That would be really awesome. When that day comes, it's just a matter of breaking the ice of the damn thing. Like, he needs to just kind of break the ice at his own, so to speak, with the ball and chain on occasion there. Okay, I'm getting a little too personal. He says, Thibs is an idiot. And he treats Wiggins like a point guard, too. WTF. Sam could have done a better job. And, wow, that's a big statement. He just had to be able to do his own thing instead of finishing what Flip was doing. Like the long twos, yep. At least we should get another decent pick, LOL. And Dunn should have had more playing time since he had a great game before. Yep, back and forth there. And I was thinking, it's amazing to think we're back in the lottery. He's like, yeah. Jones should get some burn too. He shows that he can at least run a team. And he has a floater too, LOL. Yes, I agree with Tyus Jones. And my whole thought is, yes, I'm ready to trade Ricky Rubio. I think, I know not every Wolves fan's going to agree. Some are going to be way on board with that and be jumping up and down. Well, no shit, you got to trade Rubio. I'm going to stop swearing so much, but I try not to, but yeah, it is what it is. I'm for trading Ricky Rubio. It would be the greatest ever if you could get Nerlens Noel. People are saying that's not enough. How is it not enough? You'd think Philadelphia would be saying that, but I don't know. The talk is Philadelphia actually wants Tyus Jones. Well, what are you going to get for Tyus Jones? That's the other thing. See, my thought is Dunn is ready to be a starter, and I've talked about this on the show in the past. He's ready to be a starter, but not major minutes type of starter, like 35. I'm saying 27, 28, and the other minutes go to Tyus Jones. 20, 22, 18, you know, that type of thing, where I think he is a spark plug off the bench, and we often complain about the bench, how you don't get production, and Shabazz Muhammad has done a wonderful job the past 2 weeks or so off the bench. He has definitely picked it up. I think his basketball IQ still sucks. He drives me insane with the offensive fouls, but at the same time, I'm sick and tired of guys jumping in at the last second and drawing charges through. I hate that. It's crap. And that's why the league has resorted to this godforsaken three-pointers, because people are afraid to drive the lane with the risk of getting an offensive foul. I think it's ruining the game. I hate it. It's so cheap. And I know it's always been there, but it's become such a cheap strategy where a guy will jump in at the last second when someone's driving the lane. You know, it's cheap as hell. It drives me nuts. I could go on with that forever. Maybe some of you out there agree, some of you don't. I don't like 3-3-3-3-3 all the time, you know. Keep that to the taxi cabs with the numbers 3-3-3-3-3 on their car. Okay, sorry. I don't know why I said that, but I don't know. That's one of the main reasons why you're seeing three-pointers all the time, because, again, people are afraid to drive the lane. It drives me nuts. It is what it is, this and that. But no, Shabazz Muhammad has been a great spark plug off the bench, getting back to the point, and Tyus Jones can add to that. Tyus Jones can add to that. He also was a good passer, and, you know, he knows how to make plays. He knows how to play this game. He's a high IQ player. You make up maybe if Shabazz is a little bit low IQ on occasion, despite the fact he's physical and he can attack the basket. Just needs to work on getting around people, you know, don't go straight line, maybe make a move around a guy rather than running right into him, because if obviously it's not working, you're not a running back, so so it is what it is. Vikings might be looking for one now. I can't imagine why. But Yes, Tyus Jones off the bench would be a very good thing, and I'm sure most Wolves fans that might be upset about Rubio being gone would be thrilled to see Tyus Jones in there. There's your hometown, Apple Valley's finest, all that good stuff. Spark plug off the bench, but he's also a solid point guard in this league. And he's the first-round pick for a reason. I mean, you didn't take a guy in the first round, Flip Saunders or whoever else. In this case, it was Flip Saunders, like the Cleveland Cavaliers also. You wouldn't take a guy in the first round if you didn't think he could play a little bit. Not every first-round pick makes it in the league. Some of them completely bomb out, like William Avery. Forgive me for saying that. But, I think he's shown enough that he deserves at least 18 to 20 minutes. You know, heck, even 10 if it comes to that. But Chris Dunn, I think, is ready to start in this league, believe it or not. But not full-time start, but like kind of like almost platoonish with Tyus Jones, where Tyus would get, a decent amount of minutes. I'm going over that twice now. So that's my take on it. Take it or leave it. You don't have to agree. No one's forcing anybody to agree with anything. It is what it is. Alpha Wolf Award for the week. I can't give it to Wiggins. He played very well in the first two games, but 2 of 15, that is horse crap. Karl Anthony Towns, I can't give it to him because he played awful in that Portland game. I don't know how you got outplayed by Mason Plumlee. And this segment's going longer than I was planning, that's for sure. She felt like it was going to be much shorter, but I went into other stuff with Muhammad. Zach LaVine, kind of. It's like he didn't play that well against Portland. I mean, not really. It would have been really nice to have something, and he didn't shoot that great against Philadelphia, but still wound up with 28. He played very poorly, actually, in the Portland game. Not poorly, but he was off in the Portland game, and he was still kind of off in Philly despite getting 28 points. Dare I give it to a guy who I've been kind of been mean to all week? Just watch out with the offensive fouls. That's all I got to say, buddy. Gorgui also should have had more field goal attempts in the Philly game. I mean, that's another thing that I didn't understand. I mean, that nice little floating shot that he has from, it's kind of a long two, but it is so good. And he only got 6 attempts in the game. That drove me absolutely nuts. I mean, give him the ball more. We could have used it. The guy almost had a double-double, and he had minimal minutes because he got in a little bit of foul trouble. But no, Shabazz Muhammad is going to be the alpha wolf for this week. The Johnny Flynn Memorial? Boy. Tom Thibodeau. Yeah, kind of. And some of these decisions aren't making a whole lot of sense. Rubio was not good most of the week. He really wasn't that good. Bielitsa was a little better this week. I can't bash him. Dunn had a good game earlier. It sucked in the Philly game, but not enough for me to give him that. Wiggins strong earlier. I don't know. Just in general, I mean, just for the Philly game, I'm going to give it to Wiggins. I mean, I have to give it to Wiggins for the Philly game, I suppose. I mean, and Rubio also, just non-factor most of the week. Not impressed, so we'll put it there. And Thibodeau possibly with some of these decisions. I'm not understanding them. I could go on all day. So we'll leave it there. We'll end this segment. Come back, preview 4 games right after this. Captain, inquiry. Are we ever going to get serious, or are we going to get torched by Washington and Utah coming up this week? And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 2. Previous segment got 4 games to preview, and of course, segment number 3, the good old fan interaction. Let's rock and roll. The Wolves head to Washington, D.C., the capital. And, well, maybe the only thing I agree with Obama is he said the Timberwolves need to improve their defense. Okay, I had to say what I said, so I said it. Okay. Yeah, whatever, and you don't have to like my political beliefs either, by the way. I just had to have fun with that since he said it. So that's one thing I agree with. So there you go. Thank you for that. It took about 8 years, but Washington Wizards. I don't think the Wolves are going to beat this team. The success rate in Washington, D.C. over the years, not good. Wolves almost never play well there. Once in a blue moon, you get a good one here and there, but it's not so great. The Wolves play January the 6th on Friday, of course. The next and final game, Monday, March the 13th, the Wizards come to Target Center, Minneapolis, of course. Well, they're not a great team or anything. They're fairly well coached, I'd have to say. for the most part. 16 and 18, kind of just barely hanging on in that Eastern Conference, trying to sneak into the postseason, all that good stuff. Well, you got John Wall. He's one of the better players. He's become one of the better players in the league. 10 assists a game. He's really racked that up. 2.3 steals. Not the best guy from the outside, but you got Otto Porter and Bradley Beal to scorch shots from the outside. Good for them, I guess, ultimately. Bradley Beal averaging 22 points a game. He's really got just continuing to come on in this league. Otto Porter, the third option. Solid player. Nothing to get super excited about. Certainly not worthy of a top three pick in the draft, top five pick in the draft like he was. But it is what it is. A relatively healthy team. The only hurt guy is Mahinmi. A fairly deep team. Of course, they're coached by our old friend Scott Brooks, former Timberwolf, and of course the Oklahoma City Thunder coach of the past. I don't know. I thought they would have gotten a little better than this, but still not working out. Trey Burke, who's become a little bit of a journeyman early on in his career. He's the backup point guard. Good luck with that. I mean, the poor guy, there's no way now unless John Wall gets hurt, which sometimes he does, only averaging about 5 points a game. I certainly have no regrets in trading away Trey Burke for Gorgie and Shabazz, especially Gorgie, but Shabazz, he got the Alpha Wolf this week. So, he's providing a lot of spark plug off the bench, which is what we were hoping for from the beginning. But unfortunately, yeah, the real regret about all that is the fact that Flip Saunders did not take the Greek Freak. That would have been a little bit better. That would have been the trade of the century if we trade away Trey Burke for and wind up with the Greek Freak and maybe, I don't know, maybe Shabazz in there. No, it would have been the Greek Freak and maybe Gorgie or someone else. I don't know. Maybe the guy Marcus wanted who wound up with Dallas, so you never heard from again. That one's blanking on me. I don't know. The Wolves never play well against this team. Now I'm wondering what happened to our old friend from Portland. I'm blanking on his name now. The old guy we traded for on Portland. It'll come back one of these moments. It's a bad matchup. I'm sure they'll make a trillion threes on us like they always do. I've always liked Mersan Gortat. I've always liked him. He's real solid. He's always a double-double threat. Solid European type of a center. He logs the minutes. He just does a good job. Solid defender, but even more so an offensive force down low. Kind of a versatile guy as well. Oh, man. I don't know. I just don't like this game at all for the Wolves' sake. Who's going to be the best player in this one? Well, the way Andrew Wiggins played last week, I don't think so. I mean, he was Johnny Flynn material last week. How do the Wolves win this game? You'd hope Carl Anthony Towns getting down low, maybe getting Gortat into foul trouble. That would be the hope. That's one way, I suppose. Obviously, play a little decent perimeter defense. Zach LaVine getting hot from the outside. That would be very important. He needs to be hitting his shot. He's cooled off a little bit, has Zach, the past couple games. Of course, Portland, he struggled big time. And against Philadelphia, he was all right. But he could have been better, that type of thing. Still at 28 points, though, luckily. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this one. I think Washington will win the game, though. We'll go with one. Yeah, I don't feel comfortable about it. Hopefully the Wolves respond to Obama's comment and play a little bit of defense. Maybe we'll go 99 to 95. The Washington Wizards beat the Wolves. John Wall's going to have the usual big game. Unless, of course, Rubio and Dunn can play some strong defense on him. I'm not too confident of that. I think Bradley Beal's probably going to go off on us. Zach LaVine's defense still could have a lot of improvement, I would have to say. Zach LaVine's going to have to outplay Bradley Beal for the Wolves to win this game, I'm going to say. That's kind of the take I'm having coming into this one. Interestingly enough, the Dallas Mavericks just recently beat the Washington Wizards, the most recent game for the Wizards. Crazy to imagine. That's our next opponent. The Mavericks beat Washington, but it was in Dallas. And, of course, Dirk is back, so they're starting to pick up the pace. And now the Wolves might end up having the worst record in the Western Conference, at least after this game. Wizards win 99-95. John Wall, more than likely the best player in the game against us. But Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine is the most important matchup for me in the game. I think Zach LaVine is a huge key against the Wizards. Got to hit that shot and hopefully get something going. And of course, Carl Anthony Towns drawing fouls on Gortat would be essential. Utah Jazz come to Target Center Saturday, January the 7th, around the same time the Wild continue their new winning streak. check out Brave the Wild. That's coming out tomorrow. So, yes, sir. Gordon Hayward, all these good guys. Boy, I don't like his point totals on the season. He's got 666 points so far this year. I don't know. I'm just messing around, but I'm losing my mind. They got some... Obviously, there's some talented players on this roster. They've improved. They're going to be a playoff team this year. Gordon Hayward averaging 22.2 points a game. Very... Just continuing to develop in this league. George Hill has been oft injured all year, but when he has played, he's been extremely good for Utah. Rodney Hood, the number three option. Rudy Gobert, one of the better centers in the league. Carl versus Rudy. Zach always plays well against this team. You notice I'm not talking about Andrew that much, so hopefully he can emerge and have some strong games here. Maybe he'll surprise us. I still see Andrew Wiggins as the top scoring option on this team, and he just might end up leading the team in scoring in these games, but it's just the key matchups and the guy I think will really go off in the game. Obviously, the key matchup in this game is Gobert versus Carl. It's a fun matchup. They played each other very well in the Rising Star game the other last season. And Gobert, obviously, was the top competition for Andrew Wiggins the year before when they were trying to get the MVP award. Nice battle between Gobert and Carl all last season and earlier this year as well. Carl needs to win that battle. That'll help us win the game, and I do think Zach LaVine is the most likely guy to go off on Utah. But where do we go with this one? I'm going to pick a Wolves victory over the Utah Jazz. I think they do outplay the Jazz at home. They finally pull this one off. This has been a tough matchup for the Wolves. Of course, Gordon Hayward and Andrew Wiggins is a key matchup as well. It's big. It's huge, actually. And if Andrew Wiggins outplays Gordon Hayward, the Wolves absolutely will win the game. But I do think Zach LaVine will be the leading scorer. And I think Carl needs to win his battle with Rudy Gobert. And if he struggles all night and is 3-15, just like he was against Mason Plumlee and Mayors Leonard of Portland. What the flip Saunders was that? Unacceptable, and that's a huge reason why we lost the Portland game. Of course, a guy by the name of CJ McCollum going off for 43. That's not going to help either, so hopefully Gordon Hayward doesn't go off for 43 in this one, or say a Rodney Hood, who was another matchup issue in this game. I think a beatable guy, but still a valuable player for the Utah Jazz. George Hill, though, another guy who's capable of going off from the outside. They even have Joe Johnson, the veteran, who's always capable of doing something. So we'll see what happens with that one. But I mentioned the key matchups. The Wolves will win the ball game, though. 100-99. It's going to be a one-point victory for the Wolves. Very close win. The Wolves will outlast the Jazz. Zach LaVine will have about 30 points in the game. And Carl will outplay Rudy Gobert. The Wolves survive and win the game. Dallas Mavericks come to town. Monday, January the 9th. Here we go. The Dallas Mavericks, the ever-improving Dallas Mavericks, because Dirk's back. Dirk lives again. Harrison Barnes, the guy used to drive us nuts. And, of course, he had the dunk of the year on Pekovic a couple of years ago. He's leading the club in scoring, and good for him. Good for him. 20 points a game for Harrison Barnes. Finally getting that playing time that he so richly deserved with the Warriors. It wasn't going to happen there. Wesley Matthews, the guy who used to be Wolves' killer on the Blazers, J.J. Barea. Boy, he's averaging almost 15 points a game, 5 assists. He's been strong, but he's also missed a lot of time. That's another thing J.J. Barea is well known for, missing time. Always gets hurt, especially when he's actually playing well. He always finds a way to get hurt. Of course, Dirk started off the season very late, and his minutes have been limited, unfortunately. This will probably be the last season for Mr. Dirk Nowitzki. Barea out with a sore leg at this stage as of December the 23rd. Dirk Nowitzki, obviously, well, it'll be nice to see him. I think this has got to be the last year for Dirk. That's just my opinion. Maybe he'll play out his contract. I don't know. But it's coming to an end, and they're not winning. They're probably trying to get a really high draft pick, too. I mean, I'm sure, or at least they would like to get one. It's not fun being stuck at, like, the 7th, 8th pick all the time. But who knows? Maybe you get a Paul Pierce type of player in that position, like the Celtics did years ago. Wesley Matthews and Harrison Barnes, valuable players, obviously, for the Dallas Mavericks. Darren Williams is a guy who's been very much forgotten by all of us, including myself. Not the superstar point guard he was years ago with the Brooklyn Nets and, of course, the Utah Jazz. The Wolves should win this game, but again, Dallas is playing better. They are noticeably playing better. They've won against the Lakers. That's not that hard, I suppose. I'm sorry, Vince, because they've really dropped off, the Lakers. And again, they beat Washington at home. They lost to Phoenix, though. Hopefully the Wolves can take them out. Atlanta will be playing against them in between things. This is the road game for the Dallas Mavericks. Well, they won in L.A., so I don't know. I hope the Wolves can pull this out, and I'm going to come out in good faith. Key matchups in this one, for me, Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins is going to be the main guy in this game. It'd be nice to see Karl-Anthony Towns also go off against the Dallas Mavericks. This is the first matchup against this club of three, of course. The Wolves will host this one and one on February the 24th, and you get a one in Dallas very soon on January the 15th. They'll be previewing that, I believe, on the next show. So coming up very soon. Yep, it'll be on the next show. I'll be previewing that one. Hopefully a victory. A guy who's definitely emerged, a guy who's been in the shadow of his older brother the past several years, the past few years here, finally starting to emerge. As I remember, he was kind of left for dead on the Phoenix Suns, barely made it in the NBA. Now he's hitting some threes. Seth Curry is averaging 10.5 points a game for the Mavericks. So good for him. Splitting time with Deron Williams here and there and also playing with him at times as a shooting guard with Mr. Williams out there. It'll be kind of interesting to see this club. It's interesting, obviously. All these players, Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, you even had the guy with Houston Rockets come over for a cup of coffee last year, led the team in scoring, Chandler Parsons. He's quickly moved on to the Memphis Grizzlies, so good for him, I guess. I think the Wolves will win this game. Andrew Wiggins will be the key player, in my humble opinion. He should be able to take advantage of this team. I would hope so, anyway. Gorgie versus Harrison Barnes would be kind of fun to watch. And, of course, Carl versus Dirk Nowitzki, Andrew Bogut, if he even plays. But, yeah, but then again, Bogut does get his rebounds and such. His scoring is almost non-existent now at this stage. Andrew Wiggins needs to go off against this club. Wesley Matthews and Zach LaVine will be a very fun matchup as well. Zach needs to win that battle. Zach needs to win the battle. Andrew will lead the team in scoring, but Zach needs to win the battle with Wesley Matthews. Both of them very capable of scorching from the outside. If Zach is non-existent and Wesley Matthews goes off, the Wolves will not win the game. But in my mind, they will win the game. This will be a higher scoring one like it usually is against the Dallas Mavericks. Wolves win 110 to 100. 110 to 100, the Wolves win by 10 points. Andrew Wiggins will lead this club in scoring with 30-ish, and Zach hopefully will also pile up the points. Karl-Anthony Towns will have one of his 18 and 16 type of games, like tons of rebounds and a decent amount of points, but he won't be the leading scorer in the game. It'll be very helpful. That's how I see things in this way. The Wolves win 110 to 100 over the Dallas Mavericks. So good on us there. And then the Houston Rockets. It's a Texas two-step, but they're both coming here, so we can't call it a Texas two-step. We're not going there at this stage. The Texas two-step will occur next show. Sunday and Tuesday, the Wolves will play Dallas and San Antonio in back-to-back games. That's what it's always been, the Texas two-step. We've been doing that for decades now. The Houston Sprockets with it's basically Sprocket, the owner of the Houston Rockets. Houston Sprockets. Okay, I'm sorry. 28-9 on the season. They are just continuing to rock and roll in the conference right now. Number three in the West. They are number three with a bullet at this stage. Clippers are fourth. So again, the continued conversation earlier in the year with, it's like, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't know if the person's a listener or not. I know he's a Twitter follower, but kind of going off on me a little bit. Clippers are first. It's not going to change. They're like as good a team as there is in the West. No, they're not. I'm sorry. I'm not. I mean, sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I have a clue what I'm talking about. And I didn't mean that in a mean way, to be condescending. The Clippers are not a consistent team. They're not. They might be a division champion type of team, but they're not a conference champion type of team. They're not a conference final type of team. I don't think they're going to get to the conference finals. Houston's got an outside shot at it. In fact, a legitimate shot at it. I think San Antonio, if they don't get there, it's very back-to-back seasons, extremely disappointing considering what the San Antonio Spurs are, 29-7. It's just no excuse to fail to get that conference final at a bare minimum back-to-back years. I wouldn't be surprised again to see the Spurs go all the way to the NBA Finals, to be quite honest. Rockets, I don't know about that. You need to get Hakeem back for that one, but... Oh, boy. I know there was a nice, interesting back and forth on the Courtside podcast, of course, about James Harden, who's the MVP. Now I'm blanking. I do believe it was Hank who thinks that James Harden is the MVP. Courtside podcast, highly recommended, of course. We'll talk about that in the fan interaction as well. Harden is an MVP candidate. But I don't think he is the MVP. Eric Gordon is the MVP of the Rocket. No, he's not. But he's, God, that guy is a pain in the ass. Wolves are not going to win this one. I'll just come out and plain and simple. Hopefully we put up a nice battle. Andrew Wiggins last time around, I was kind of disappointed. I mean, I thought he was going to play a hell of a lot better. Carl, I can't remember exactly who stood out in that game now, because I know somebody did, and I know Wiggins did not. James Harden did what he always does. He scored a lot of points against the Wolves. I remember, yep, the game went to overtime. The Wolves should have won that, son of a biscuit. Yep, I remember now where Zach LaVine was coming up the sideline and tried to get around James Harden, and they talked about how he bumped him and all that. Yeah, Andrew Wiggins was awful, 5 of 17. That's correct. And Carl was the guy that went off. And I do think Carl will go off again because Houston does not offer a whole lot of resistance down low. Carl will definitely be the leading scorer, and he needs to play a very strong game again. Zach LaVine was solid in the game. He made almost half of his free throws, or three-pointers, but not quite. He did make half of his shots from the floor in that game. Key matchup, obviously, there. Eric Gordon versus Zach LaVine. Obviously, that's a huge key matchup. Eric Gordon was kind of all over the place, but still made the shots when he needed to. James Harden made everything just about. No, he didn't, actually. He made all of his free throws, though. Good for him. He actually did not get the triple-double in the game, despite the fact he's right up there with Russell Westbrook. I think it's definitely a big battle between those two, and then, of course, LeBron James. And I do not think a member of the Golden State Warriors will get the MVP this year because too many chefs spoil the pot. You're not going to get an MVP on that team. It's too watered down in that sense. That's not even complaining about them. It's just there's no MVP when you have that many guys on the same team. So it's just not going to happen. Harden is an MVP candidate. Look how good the Rockets are. And Coach Pringles might be an MVP the way he's going. That, of course, Coach D'Antoni. Spacely Sprocket will not be saying, D'Antoni, you're fired! He won't be saying that anytime soon if this keeps up. Carl, just go out there, kick some ass against this Rockets front court. There's nobody there right now. There's nothing going on with the Rockets in the front court. Carl needs to take advantage of that and dominate it. And that was after I ripped him after that wild and crazy Bulls game that the Wolves came back and won, almost came back and beat the Rockets. That was pretty damn impressive. Things just collapsed late in that game, and it was so freaking frustrating. Maybe the Wolves get revenge and win it, but I'm not going to pick that right now. The most recent game for Houston, that must have been a classic. Rockets versus Thunder. I wish I watched that. 118-116 in regulation. Woo-wee! That must have been a fun one. Maybe we'll look at it for a half second here. I do think the Rockets win the game, though, unfortunately. And, of course, James Harden will be the main reason they win. But perimeter defense against the Eric Gordons and such, that's just, you know, not surprising. Not surprising that Eric Gordon will probably make like half his threes and get 20-something, and James will get 30-something and double-digit assists. Hopefully he doesn't get a triple-double. Let's get some rebounds over there. Carl, who did get 16, that did help the Wolves stop the Rockets from winning the game there. But the turnovers are what killed the Wolves late in that one. 21 turnovers total. 6 for Carl, 8 for Zach. I don't expect there to be that many turnovers, but I do think the Rockets will outscore the Wolves, and they'll beat us from the outside like they always do. Russell Westbrook had 49, but he shot the ball 35 times to get there. That's kind of a lot. How did James Harden do? What the hell? 26 and 12. That's funny. I'm like, that's bad. It's good still, but 6 of 16 from the floor. Not the best, but the Rockets outlast. Yeah, Mr. Russell Westbrook, and of course, Eric Gordon, half of his threes off the bench. There it is. This is about what I expect against the Wolves. 5 of 10 from Eric Gordon from three-point range. That's who Eric Gordon is right now. And luckily for him, he stayed healthy, and that's been a huge key for the Houston Rockets. Eric Gordon is an X factor for that team off the bench. He's a lot better than Shabazz Muhammad, unfortunately, for us. Rockets will win the game, though. Let's get on with it here. I'm sorry. 112 to 98, I think the Rockets will roll in the game and will beat the Wolves at home. The Wolves will have some resistance. They may even lead for an extended period in the game, but I think it's the third quarter. As they say, bleep the third quarter over there on Flip's Army, and I agree with that. I think the third quarter is what will do in the Wolves in that one. Carl, definitely the X factor in that game to go off, hopefully, on those Rockets. And it would be nice to see Zach LaVine outplay Eric Gordon and scorch the net. That will give the Wolves hope to win the game. Just try not to step out of bounds if you can. I know. I'm not trying to be too mean. So that's about it, I guess. I mean, let's wrap things up. Come back for Fan Interaction right after this. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, final segment, fan interaction. Want to give a quick shout out here to Flip's Army Facebook page. Please go there, give it a like. He's kind enough, Trevor Wickerin is kind enough to allow me to post a link to Timberwolves Explosion on that Facebook page. Go there and please click like. It would be greatly appreciated. The Twitter account for Timberwolves Explosion is @WolvesExplosion, @WolvesExplosion. Tane Brown and Vince Germano, kind enough to retweet the show. Thank you guys so much. God bless you. Tane Brown out of New Zealand and Vinny Vinrock, Vince Germano, the co-host of The Courtside out of Melbourne, Australia. One of a possible LA of Australia, maybe something like Sacramento or San Francisco of Australia. I don't know. I'm going crazy. I get goofy. I don't know why I think about all this weird stuff, but all these weird comparisons, what I'm trying to say. Nothing weird about Australia, that's for damn sure. I would love to visit that place. Levi Brown also retweeting recently as well. Thank you very much, Levi and Tanae. On the recent one, I was actually looking at 184, so 185, Levi and Tanae. But yeah, thank you guys so much, Levi and Tanae out of New Zealand. We were talking about that Bucks game there. Tanae says, how much fun is it watching Cat outmuscle someone in the post? And yes, and he has that the hearts in the eyes look, that face. Yes, that's what you want to see out of Karl Anthony Towns. Go down low. You don't need to be standing on that gall dang perimeter launching threes all the time, Carl. It's okay to shoot threes sometimes at opportune times, but not constantly. You're not a shooting guard, Carl. Please, please. Down low, Carl, please. That's what used to drive me nuts about Marcus the Forecaster. He'll kill you down low. Because Marcus is about 6'4". I'm about 6'1"-ish, so I'm a small forward. I'm the LeBron James of my team. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, something like that. No. Marcus is the Karl Anthony Towns. He's a nice three-point threat, but not the whole damn game. When you're down low, you can kick some ass. Karl is not a great three-point threat. He had a little moment. It's just like Andrew Wiggins starting out the year, and then it's kind of ran out of magic points. You got to drink some of that ether or something, I don't know, before you take another three-point shot or something. I don't know. In most of those old Final Fantasy games, which I highly prefer the older ones, Super Nintendo and earlier. Well, Super Nintendo, but take that damn ether, man. Please, you got to fill up those magic points because it's running on zero there, buddy. Tanae says this has been a fun first quarter, and it really was against the Bucks. The Wolves dominated that whole game. Tanae continues saying, how many years until this is the matchup for the NBA Finals, LOL? And how cool would that be? Wolves and Bucks in the NBA Finals. I thought the Bucks were a bad matchup for the Wolves, and they have been. But on that particular night, the Wolves stomped on the Bucks, and that was a lot of fun. I loved it very much. That was December the 30th. It's been that long already. And yes, Vince did retweet 185. It was just like a day later or so. Thank you very much, Vinrock. Vince Germano. Wrap up the Twitter section with Tanae saying, I've coached teams that have better rotations and scrambling defense than the Wolves in this quarter. Pathetic so far. And that was against the Sixers. That was a sick game. It was terrible. And I couldn't believe it. I retweeted it. I should have responded. I apologize for that tonight. Just kind of was kind of locked into something at the time. But yeah, that game was freaking horrible. My niece, Christina Vu, followed me. Thank you very much. Of course, niece from my wife's side. Gave me a follow. I'm not sure if she's a listener. I kind of doubt it, but that's cool that she followed Wolves Explosion. That's interesting. I didn't even know she had a Twitter account, but I don't know if she's old enough. No, I'm kidding. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, stay off the wrong stuff there if you're listening. Oh, thank you guys so much, though, for the conversation. Always, that Sixers game was just, you know, it seems like every year we have one game against the Sixers that leaves you just like, what? What? Yeah, that was, we had one of those nice little comeback, and then you still finish with just a Joey, God gave me the strength for not going off on a curse tangent. The recent post of Timberwolves Explosion did have one comment. It was Levi Brown out of New Zealand saying, great show again, listening from the beach in New Zealand. Thank you very much. I should have clicked like. I apologize, Levi, but I did know, and thank you very much, Levi. It's a absolute pleasure to do this show. Sometimes it's more difficult than others when they play poorly. You can't believe that we're resorting to like just stupid three-point shots at times, and it drives me nuts. I'm sure it bugs you as well, and of course the poor defense that Tanae mentioned as well. Ah, wow. So this is going to be very short. Hank McCoy says, So how long before you hang this guy's jersey in the rafters? LMAO, zing. But seriously, it's gotten to the stage where I've forgotten that Peck was on the Wolves roster. I'm hoping they can package his contract up in a deal somewhere and at least get something back for him. Hate to be harsh on a guy looking to retire due to injury, but seriously, this should have been done three seasons ago. Way to flog a dead horse, Peck. Thoughts? And, you know, I was going to respond, but and then like a huge conversation kind of ensued with other guys over there. Where did it go? Oh, I hate that. It's like you bump it and it goes all over the place. I'll mention really quick, Hank McCoy, Vince Germano, Courtside Podcast. Do give that a check out on iTunes. Do subscribe on iTunes. It's free there. And then if you want to be a premium subscriber, also get the Podbean application for Android, Apple. I mean, Windows, I'm sure, is on there as well. Of course, for those of you that need want the free stuff that you have Android, like just like this show, Double Twist is the... Is the application that mirrors iTunes for Android applications. At least it's one of them. There's others out there, but Double Twist is the one I'm, you know, mentioning on here. I should get royalties from them, damn it. But you get the idea there. And, of course, Podbean, you could subscribe for $20 for the whole year for the Hank McCoy, Vince Germano, Courtside Podcast. Spectacular stuff. $20 is pretty worth it for premium shows. So, rock and roll. One of these days, I'll be doing the same thing. I think it'd be a good idea. I keep hinting at it, and yeah, I'll have some type of announcement one of these days. One of these days, I've just been slow burning, so to speak. Kalen Woods, who's a Laker fan like Vinny Vinrock, says medical retire cash for those insurance checks with that fancy kind of French version of the word. Kalen Woods, also out of Australia. Hank McCoy saying Wolves don't need the cash relief. Trade Peck to another team as money coming off the books and let him retire there. Call Phoenix and package it with Rubio and bring in some pieces that can help the Wolves now. See, it would be a package deal. Maybe that can help you get, you know, the likes of... Why am I saying Eric Bledsoe? Brandon Knight. I was thinking Eric Bledsoe. Brandon Knight. But Bledsoe's probably going to stay in Phoenix for the while. Kalen Woods saying, who's going to take Peck when he has another full year? Better off forcing the medical retirement and getting the deal off the books. So he does have another year, huh? Man, that's hard to believe. But I suppose it was a five-year ditty. Man, that's tough. He says, nah, let him force it somewhere else. If Joe Johnson can get traded from his gigantic deal out of Atlanta, then Tech can get dealt, no problem. Interesting. Kalen continuing saying, but Joe Johnson was serviceable to the right team. I can't see Peck being serviceable to any team right now. It's kind of an ongoing conversation here. Hank saying serviceable by an expendable contract either this year or next. And they kind of go back and forth for a little bit there. So see if there's, I think there was a little bit more going on down below. Dan May says he is kneeling before Zod and hasn't been allowed to play. And yes, Zod does look like, you know, Peck does look like Zod. Yes. Yes, he does. And that's been going on for a while. I remember, Jules Posterino used to mention that a while ago. And I think even Aussie Wolf mentioned it. Nigel North a while ago, too. I miss you guys. I haven't heard from Jules Posterino in forever. I miss you, brother. Where are you? And, of course, Mr. Nigel North, the original Australian with the Timberwolves. His name was Aussie Wolf years ago on thesportsstuff.com. Gosh, I miss that guy. Real cool dude over there in Australia. The very first Australian, at least the longest listener to this show in the past, from Australia anyway, was awesome. So there you go. I gave a shout out to Flips Army, shout out to Courtside. Thank you all you so much. Jeff Johnson, want to give you a shout out. Great guy out there on Flips Army and stuff. Trevor Wickerin, all those guys. Tyler Berg, Dre out there. Great basketball mind. Gotta love him. We also had a Hunter join as well. We've been having conversations on Flips Army in the past. He joined the Facebook page very recently as well. Thank you very much for that. So I want to wish you all a great week. Hopefully the Wolves can at least get to have a 500 type of week. If they go 3-1, wouldn't that be great? Like you beat Houston, you beat Washington, something like that. Please take care of business against Dallas at Utah. It'd be disappointing to come back 1-3 after this week. But again, I wouldn't be super surprised, but it would be disappointing. Getting tired of those kind of weeks. Let's have a positive turn here. Let's move things a slightly closer to the right direction. It would be great. So again, all of you have a great week. Again, hope you had a happy new year and all that. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
We'll be right back.